Okay, welcome back. Wow, I never used to get this way. After doing an hour like we just did with Mitchell Henderson, I kind of just feel like I've been gone a couple rounds in a boxing ring with somebody. Just it's the information is huge. Now, there's one man that I have known for a long time, and virtually everyone I mention his name to, and I don't run around every day mentioning it, but it happens more often than you'd think. Every time I've mentioned the name Jordan Maxwell, almost without fail, anybody who is reasonably intelligent says, oh, he's amazing. Oh, yeah, I know who Jordan Maxwell is. Jordan is without question one of the most well-known and respected, brilliant minds of our age, period. And he's back with us tonight. As you know, we go way back, and he's got some data that he really hasn't given out to the extent that he'd like to, but it's going to be made available. We're going to talk about some of that this hour. ATON, 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 and the underlying threads of all major world religions. It's quite a story. And yes, world religions are instruments of control of human beings. Give them an answer. Here's the answer. You don't have to worry anymore. And right away, you've got a cult following. So that's how it works. You all understand that. Hello, Mr. Maxwell. Welcome back.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate being with you. And I don't know if I deserve the accolades, but I appreciate the kind thoughts that you have and the things that you've said about me. I appreciate. And I just have something that I've wanted to talk about for a long time.
Uh-huh. First of all, the truth is always easy for me. If you wish to think of them as accolades, that's wonderful. They're just the truth. And by the way, you deserve the accolades. So go ahead. Tell us about this. This is a big subject.
Yes, it's a very big subject. First of all, I gave a lecture up at Laughlin, Nevada about 6 months ago. And in it, I talked about the subject, but I didn't have the basis for the subject as just the subject itself.
Right.
And then my friend, our mutual friend, Jay Widener, gave a lecture after me in which he did not realize it, but he gave me exactly what I needed. He gave me the piece that was missing. And now I have it. And that fact of the matter was that he mentioned that in ancient Egypt, Pharaoh Akhenaten, and that he said that Pharaoh was walking along the Nile one day, and this story that he was telling was written on the side of one of the great temples in Egypt. I don't remember exactly which one, but he says written on the side of the temples in Egypt that Pharaoh was walking along the Nile one day, and above his head appeared a silver disc, and the silver disc talked to him. He said he could hear the voice talking to him that told him he was supposed to go back to Cairo and to bring about a new religion that was going to flood the earth. The new religion was going to be the Aton religion, the ATON religion, and it was called the religion of the rising sun, and that the symbol for this new world religion was going to be a sunrise over a mountain range. And I showed that. Incidentally, have you seen my last of my video?
I have tried twice, and the last two times, and I was going to mention this, it has been taken down. It says video unavailable. And I had gone in and looked at 10 more minutes or so, and it was going back to finish it twice, and it says video unavailable. I'm going to try to restore it. You and I can figure this out later. I don't know where it is now, but it's been it was on YouTube, and it's not coming up. So I think they're playing games.
I think I told you of the possibility that it might be taken down.
Yeah,
and the reason why is because it was not done by me. It was a video of me, and it was done at the conference. But whoever actually filmed the conference have maybe saw that was at the conference and pulled it down because they wanted to make the money off of it.
Oh, come on. I'm so tired of this money grubbing opportunists. I can understand some compensation. Okay, but come on. Let's get real.
I know. So anyway, Jay Widener brought out that some 4,500 years ago or more, a pharaoh was walking along the Nile, and above his head appeared a disc made of silver disc thing above his head, and the disc began to say to him that he was supposed to go back to Cairo and to found a new religion. It was called the Aton religion. And that religion was going to be the symbol for the whole world of mankind. That every nation and every person on the earth is going to be influenced by the new religion of the Aton. And the symbol would be the sunrise over a mountain range. And that
dawn
was
of a new day.
Yeah, the dawn of a new day. That's exactly right. And so that was the beginning of something that has become worldwide, well known all over the earth, but very few people know the very beginnings of it. And now I know. And so the bottom line is that the new world religion was going to be called the dawn of a new day. And this is why the story is so important, because to understand today, all over the world, the whole world of mankind, no matter what country, uses the sunrise over a mountain range. And it's called the dawn of a new day. Mm-hmm. But it so happens that back in 1914 or 1913, when the coming of the communist revolution began in Russia was not a communist country. It was just occupied the first time a country was seized by the communists. And so that was the beginning of the age of communism. The Soviet Union. We have a painter's union. We have the plasterer's union. We have the drywall union. And now we have a Soviet Union. And the Soviet Union symbol is a dawn of a new day. And the symbol was a sunrise over a mountain range. So that there is the beginning of what came to be called the dawn of a new day for world communism. And today, the police departments, education, military, governmental, social organizations all use the sunrise over a mountain range.
Right.
And all back to ancient Egypt and to the Aton. And today, the Judaism today says that it is not right for us to use God's name because it's so holy that we should not be able to use it. But there is a word that talks about the God of the Jews, but it's called Tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton. And
Tetragrammaton. Tetragrammaton.
Yes, the Aton.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, the tetragrammaton. Tetra in Latin means four.
Mm-hmm.
And the word of God, or the presentation of God's name in the synagogues, no matter which synagogue you're in, all of them will tell you that the name of God is tetragrammaton. And the tetragrammaton is four Hebrew letters, individual letters, because it's tetra means four. Gram, G-R-A-M-M, means a letter, like A, B, C, and D. So tetragrammaton. The aton is the religion of aton. And so because of the Jewish religion, it has now permeated the whole world, and that God is the aton, which Pharaoh was told to found in his day. And so today, tetragrammaton. Mm-hmm. The aton is the God of the Hebrews. The God of the Jews is the sun god from Egypt. But in Anglo-Saxon, which is the Anglo language of the people of America, we spell the sun S-U-N, sun. But in German, in the Germanic language, which is a language of Europe, the aton was spelled S O N, not S U. So that son and son were married.
Right.
So two words became one, and that whole system, I am told, is called the lazy sun, S-O-N-S-U-N, the lazy sun. And the lazy sun in English means when you come across the word S-O-N or S-U-N, it's the same word. It is identical. And it means the same thing. It means the sun, S-U-N. And so tetragrammaton is the aton, which is a symbol for the sun in our language, but not Anglo-Saxon, or not Anglo, but Germanic. And therefore, we get it mixed up because we don't know that there are two different languages being used.
Right.
And therefore, we now say God's son, S-O-N, is part of God's family in the heavens. Well, of course, the sun is part of God's family in the heavens, in the heavens. And so, therefore, I understand now that we have mistakenly taken the S-O-N as a son of God, God's son, the light of the world. And then, of course, the S-U-N is the light of the world. But then, to take it even further, you begin to see how the S-O-N becomes S-U-N, and therefore he is the light of the world. Well, of course, the sun is the light of the world. What else lights the world if it isn't the sun? The whole world is lit up when the sun comes up.
Well, it lights up our solar system, of course.
Well, of course.
All of
them. Of course.
Yeah.
And the sun is your risen Savior. Why? Because it rises every morning. About 5:30 in the morning, it rises. Mm-hmm. And so it's our risen Savior. He is our risen Savior because the sun rises, and it is your risen sun. It is your Savior. Because if the sun doesn't rise, then in 3 weeks, we're going to be dead. If the sun is gone, it doesn't rise any longer, then we're going to be dead. Because the earth will be frozen over instantly. And all life on the earth comes from the sun, S-O-N, from the Son of God. But it's just using words and terms and symbols.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you think about that as a fact, then that also brings in the fact that the Jewish religion is also the religion of the German people. And the Germans have used the symbol of the sun and as all nations and races and peoples have, militarily, in law enforcement, in education, and all the other systems of knowledge we have on the earth, they have used the symbol of the sun rising over the mountains of the east. And so I've always thought that was interesting, because that for the first time explains how we are to believe in God's Son, the S-O-N, and not the S-U-N. But actually, God's Son is the S-U-N, not S-O-N.
Got
and
it.
So that's very interesting. And that was one of the things that caught my eye to start with. Now, the symbol for the sun has been a fasci. A fasci was a symbol for God's Son. S-U-N.
Really? I didn't know S-O-N. This. Now, yeah, explain what a fasci is. It's a wrapped up group of stalks, right? With a
of stalks of sticks wrapped around by an X in the middle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the top is a hatchet head.
Uh-huh.
A hatchet head was a symbol for God in the all ancient world. In the ancient world, all the nations of the world used the hatchet head as a symbol for the Almighty God. I guess it's because if you do something against God, he will hatchet your head. And so...
Well, not my God. My God's a nice guy, nice gal, whatever. And,
yeah. Well, and remember. So... And so, therefore... This is why we now have the hatchet head god of the pharaoh of the and this is also what gives us our symbol for enlightenment is the hatchet head.
What has this got to do, Jordan? Excuse me. What does this have to do, if anything, with beheading people in old England, using the guillotine and the French Revolution? Beheading people right now in the world of Islam, radical Islam. What is this head chopping thing tied into the fasci?
Yes. This comes directly from the Aton, the symbol for God in the old mm-hmm. ancient world is the Aton, or the sun, and it's being used as a symbol for a hatchet head. And
Are we sure that our God, maybe this is a mirror reflection of our God on the dark side of the ledger? This sounds a little bit coarse to me. Of course, I've been programmed my whole life to believe that God is a reasonably benevolent figure, but this sounds pretty cut and dried, no pun intended. I mean, boom.
Yeah, dead. I am. And you're right, it is pretty much cut and dry, but this can go on for hours. We could talk about this for a long time because there's mm-hmm. so many implications of this. But the bottom line seems to be that there's a sun, the S-O-N, which is actually the S-U-N,
uh-huh.
but we understand it better if we use it in our own language, in Anglo language. The S-U-N
sure.
is light. He's the light of the world. And so we're told in the Bible that Jesus is the light of the world. Well, of course, he's the Son of God, the S-U-N or the S-O-N of God. And
understood.
And so therefore, we tie that into the connection to the fasci and the swastika. The swastika was a symbol of the sun because it was rolling across heaven. And it rolled across heaven, and that's why the spokes of the sun god was bent at each turn. It bends and goes the way it's going to go. And so,
oh, okay. All right. So hold on. So all of you just get in mind the symbol, right? The swastika, which was used by American military forces in the 1920s and 30s, by the way. It was nothing that the German people came up with by themselves. It's been around. But this is the idea of a sun rolling across the heavens. And as it rolls, yep, the four axes upon which it rolls bend back at a 90-degree point. And that's where the symbol came from. It meant the sun rolling through the heavens during the day. Yes?
Correct. That's absolutely correct. And so, therefore, depending on which way the spokes are going, is rolling frontwards or backwards. And so there really is no connection there at all. It's the same idea. The sun is rolling. Yeah. And therefore, as the Aton, or the sun god, who is rolling, mm-hmm, across heaven. And then you've got four horses of the apocalypse. The four horses are the four seasons of the year, spring, summer, autumn, and winter. And so that's why you have the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is the four seasons of the year, telling the story of the Aton. And my goodness, there's just so much we could talk about this in so many different ways. But we have now,
the four seasons.
Yes, the four seasons of the horses of the apocalypse.
Well, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons is another one, but that's not the same thing.
No, it's not quite the same.
All right. You know, that's interesting, though. 4-4-4 turns up, and then we always have 12-12-12 turning up everywhere. A dozen eggs, a baker's dozen, the 12 apostles. It's one of those universal numbers that so many things turn upon. And now I'm hearing that 4 is a big number as well.
That's right. That's why you have four seasons. And the four seasons are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Spring, summer, autumn, winter. So that boils down to one thing. The religions of this world are all based upon the visions in heaven.
Uh-huh.
Because the sun is in heaven. And this is why the 12 apostles, they have 12 apostles, the 12 brothers of Joseph, the 12 great prophets of Israel. Everything is in 12 when it comes to religion. Why? Because of the 12 symbols that are in the zodiac.
Got it.
And no. The word for zoo, the word zoo, Z-O, was used in the ancient prehistoric and ancient Egyptian, the ancient Greek language for an animal.
Zoo? Even though it had one O? It had one O, but it was still pronounced zoo, and it meant animals.
Right, that's right. And therefore, today, that's where you find animals, is in a zoo. But the zoo gives us the word zodiac, a zodiac. So now,
zodiac,
the idea of the zodiac. The zodiac has 12 animals, or 12
zodiac
symbols.
Got it. I saw a bunch of animals in the store today. They weren't in a zoo, I guess they were in a zoo. Go ahead.
And so, therefore, we now know that the zoo gives us the word zodiac. Z-O-O. Zodiac. Zodiac is the numbers of animals in the zodiac. Now, what kind of life form do we humans put into a kingdom? We have ants in a colony. We have fish we put in schools, and cattle we put in herds, and birds we put in flocks. But what kind of an animal do we put in a kingdom? If you think about it, an animal kingdom. The animals are the animals of the zoo. And therefore, they are the zoo animals, or zodiacal animals that are in the zodiac. And that's what you can see at night. When you go out at night and look up into the stars, you will see the different animals of the zodiac. if you really know how to find them.
Right.
And so that's why we say that the animals in the zodiac are part of your life, because there are 12 sections to your life, each one being a month apart, and each one having a symbol of the zodiac. And therefore, God's son is the light of the world, where his zodiac is the kingdom, as God's kingdom in the heavens. His kingdom is a kingdom of animals in the zoo or zodiac. So now we begin to see it opening up into a bigger picture. And all the ancient religions of the world have acknowledged the coming of the zodiac. And the zodiac represented the 12 signs of the zodiac, which represents the 12 parts of the human nature. And this is why today people are looking down on the zodiac and have nothing, they want anything to do with it, because it's not Christianity. It's not Christian. Well, it is the basis of Christianity. And the churches know that. And that's why the churches have said to the people, do not pay attention to the zodiac, because it's not true. But in point of fact, the church knows that the zodiac is the kingdom of the heavens. It's the kingdom of God. It's God's kingdom, and the church does not want you to know about God's kingdom, because it's the symbol of the zodiac. And how many people today are Christians and have no idea in the world that what they're looking at and hearing about is the symbol for the sun and the zodiac, God's sun? And the German is spelled S-O-N.
Mm-hmm.
And the zodiac is God's kingdom in the heaven. And so when Jesus is about to die, in the book of Luke 10:22 or 10:24, I think it is, I can't remember exactly, but in the book of Luke, Jesus says to his apostles he's going to die. And so the apostles say to Jesus, well, where are we going to go? When you die, we're following you. So where are we to go? And he said to go into the city, and you will see a man carrying a pitcher of water. Go into the house of the man with the water pitcher. Well, what is the symbol of Aquarius if it isn't the symbol of a man carrying a pitcher of water?
Sure.
And therefore, we know that this is a whole entire story based on the Aton, Tetragram Aton. The sun god of the ancient world is now the god of the new world order, the sun god. And I would love for everyone to be able to see my video and watch it to the end, and you will see all.
We've got to get that restored. I hope you have contact data. I will contact the person if necessary, but we've got to. That's you. He doesn't own you. That's you at a public event. Somebody somebody else must have this, or he should make it available as a tribute to you. Anyway, we'll work on it.
Okay, and I will.
I went back twice to look at the end of it, and it was gone.
Well, that's too bad, because I wanted everyone to be able to see it. Because
we'll get it and put it up.
Right. Well, in this presentation I did about 6 months ago in
Laughlin,
Nevada, was exactly, everything was right on. Everything was exactly right on, as I said. And I showed the Aton. I showed that it was a sun god. And then I showed how all the modern day social networks, we call social networks, like
right.
YouTube and Facebook, et cetera, are all
right.
social networks, because communism was called this USSR, United Soviet Socialist of Russia. And so today, we have socialist networks, and we're socially told to stand 6 foot apart.
Don't
get next to your social partner, because we want to keep track on every single person. It's easier to be able to do that if we have everyone standing apart, so we can.
Now, what what Jordan just said is very important. And all of you with smartphones or other devices that are portable, understand that when you're standing close in a group, it's very difficult for our controllers to track and listen to you from satellites or trucks or airplanes. So they want people separated for one reason. It's not your health, it's so they can monitor you and surveil you. That's the distancing. That's what Jordan is saying.
That's exactly what I was saying. And that's why today, too, when you're socially distancing yourself from other people, they can now listen to you. And if you're on social networks like Facebook and those kind of social networks, as socialists, now they know what you look like. They know what you think. They know how you think. They know what you look like, and they know who your friends are. And they know how many friends you have, and they will know everything about you. And you gave them all that information when you joined the socialist network. And so the socialist network are the socialists of America, and they are making up the whole of America is a socialist network. And this is why I felt it would be so important for people to know this and to understand the implications of all of this. It's very, very difficult to explain, and I would love to be able to have everyone see the pictures, because some of the pictures there are absolutely astounding.
Well, they were in your video.
Yeah.
See, I watched over half the video, and I kept going back to try to look at the rest. Oh, well, anyway, we'll work on this, Jordan. Don't worry about it. We'll get it restored one way or the other. So,
and then we'll give it a... I'm sure, because I have copies of my own presentation.
Oh, okay. Well, you just... We'll talk. We'll talk. Good. All right.
And I'll give it to you, and you can put it out there.
Right. Will do.
And so that's one thing. Then... So now we go from that to the next step is to understand that the zodiac is a part of our life on the earth. The 12 parts of life on the earth, the 12 different segments of life that we all suffer from and we all are part of is from the zodiac. And this is why today, all over the world, we are now having social networks because of the socialists in America who want to bring everybody together but keep them separate so we can tell who they are and what they believe and what they think and how much they know and how much they don't know and who their friends are and who thinks like them. Because when we finally get everybody put in their place, then we'll know who our enemies are, and then we will get rid of them, and then we'll get rid of their followers, and now we will have complete and total control of the human race. Nobody who says anything about anything of any importance will be listened to. We won't listen to them, and we will make sure that you don't listen to them. They'll be taken off. So you will never know that they were gone forever. And then eventually all the people of the earth will begin to think one thing, and that one thought will be the new world order.
They're going to implant that many different ways into the subconscious and conscious mind of everybody around. They're all being drilled and programmed constantly with this theme. They just don't know it. And unfortunately, this new vaccine, as it's coming out, will have nanotechnology potential to, I believe, implant thoughts, implant false memories, I think they'll be able to do almost anything they want with people. So this vaccine is a watershed moment in the twilight of humankind, and that's the sad part. It is.
Yes, is exactly what it is. It's the twilight of the human race, and we are unfortunately going along with it. I am now incredibly amazed at how many people fall right in line with what's going on and have no idea in the world that breathing your own breath is dangerous to you, and you're breathing out the carbon dioxide, but you're breathing it in also.
Along with bacteria that you're growing in that mask. It's a perfect medium, moist, hot, and bacteria grow. And then you get to inhale them. You're going to, oh, man, it's crazy. It's brilliant from their perspective, but it's crazy for us to do. We should just reject it. No.
But in certain places of the earth, they have said no, and they're not going along with this. And so those are the enlightened leaders. Those are the people who are leading the people and leading the people out of darkness into light. But unfortunately, that's going to ultimately mean that we're going to have to be forced into accepting this ideology of the Eton. And we're going to be forced into accepting the symbols of the emblems of the New World Order. As I said, Jesus was asked, well, where are we going to go when you die? And he said, go into the city, you will see a man with a water pitcher. Go into the house of the man with the water pitcher. Well, that is the house of Aquarius. And so, therefore, we're told that all of this is a bunch of bull and have nothing to do with this, all this astrology stuff, because it's all based on lies. No, it's all based on truth. But they don't want you to know where the ideas have come from. They just give you little stories that you're supposed to believe. Mm-hmm. And once you believe it, it makes all the sense in the world, and it's obviously the truth. And you go along with it until you finally come to the final day in which you now see it was all a hoax. It was all a hoax on you. It was all because you were forced to believe something and you were brought up to believe it. And now I come to the point where I am now. I am very interested in the development of religion. And I believe, I'm not going to go out on a limb and say I know it for a fact, but I think I'm right on this. I think instead of there being Judaism, then Christianity, then Islam, I think the first stroke would be Christianity. Then comes Judaism. Next was Judaism, and next was Islam. I don't think that Christianity was in any way affected by Judaism. I think Judaism is a normal and natural reaction to the coming of Christianity, because Christianity needed a spiritual foundation. And since Christianity was developed by the Knights Templars, and this is why when Jesus said, Jesus' words were, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Upon this rock I will build my church. What are you talking about? Well, look it up in the dictionary of the Bible. Look up the word rock, and it will tell you it was Petra. And so we in Christianity say, well, God's kingdom was based on Peter, not Peter, Petra. Not P-E-T-E-R, but P-A-T-A-R, Petra. Petra is a rock in the country of Jordan. And if you go back and watch the third of the Indiana Jones movies about the Last Crusade, the Last Crusade is in Petra, because it's the symbol for Christianity. And Petra is also what was dominated in the last of the triple series. Indiana Jones was dominated by the Nazis. And the Nazis were, of course, Germanic, and Germanic was the son is S-O-N. And therefore, Jesus is saying that Petra, I build my church upon the rock, and Petra is the rock. And then it really gets into the dark secrets of Christianity.
Jordan, this is fascinating. If all of you look up P-E-T-R-A, Petra, you'll see pictures of it, lots of them, a lot of images. It's absolutely astonishing to see. It's hewn out of the living rock with columns and pillars. It's just a stunning place. And it was apparently thriving. 400 B.C., it is said, to 106 A.D., and then it sat empty for centuries and in near ruin before it was found and eventually restored. That's Petra. It's in Jordan.
Yes, it's in the country of Jordan. It also happens to be in the mind of Jordan.
Maxwell.
And I realized that about reading this and understanding this much, that the whole of Christianity dominated all of Europe and most of Asia, mm-hmm. and was used as a symbol for a new world religion. A religion of the new world order was from Petra, not Peter, but Petra. Peter was, and you will find, if you go to image on the computer, you will look at the Vatican. And at the Vatican, you will see an image of Peter.
And are you saying Peter, P-E-T-E-R, Peter?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're shown pictures of Peter, and people are kissing his feet and kissing his shoes. They've kissed his shoes goodbye because the shoes are gone. There is no shoes there. It's just they have kissed, so many millions of people have kissed the feet of Peter instead of Petra, that they've kissed the feet goodbye. There are no longer any feet. They're just a round symbol at the bottom of his leg.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why so many Christians have kissed the feet of Peter, but the Vatican Encyclopedia says that the symbol of Peter and the Vatican is actually the symbol of the Almighty God the Almighty God Himself.
Mm-hmm.
That has become the symbol for Peter, Petra.
All right, now what about the city restored, absolutely gorgeous city, ancient city of Petra? What do we make of that today, Jordan? What significance does Petra, the city hewn out of rock, have for us?
Well, if you go back and watch the third Indiana Jones, and the third one was called Indiana Jones.
I missed it. I didn't see it.
Oh, well, you should go back and watch it. It's very, very interesting. Indiana Jones and Petra. And why Petra? Because at the end of the movie, you find that when they go into Petra and they go into the temple, they find a Knights Templar, a Masonic Order Knights Templar, and he is guiding and he is officiating over the different chalices, the different kinds of chalices. And one of them is the chalice of Jesus at the Last Supper. Mm-hmm. And the Last Supper is, of course, the last Passover meal in the old age and the coming of the new age is the last and final Passover. That's what it's called, the Last Supper. And the Last Supper is pictured in the third Indiana Jones and the Lost Crusade as the symbol for Pita. It's not Pita, it's Petra.
Got it.
And Petra is in the movie. And they show the symbols of Petra in Jordan.
Uh-huh.
And they talk about it. They talk about it. And in that movie, there's a scene in there where Indiana Jones is being chased around the waters around Petra and the lakes around the waters in that area. And the people who are chasing Indiana Jones, they have finally showed themselves to be symbols of a secret society, Knights Templars, who are the surveyors of Christianity. They're the perversion of Christianity from Christianity to astrology. And that's what they say in the movie. They're an astrological secret society.
Well, this is Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, 1989. It's also the movie that Sean Connery starred with Harrison Ford. And I didn't get to see it. It earned almost $500 million at the box office. So it must be pretty good.
You need to watch it.
Yes. There are a lot of movies I need to watch. I've been working is the problem. But we'll get there. We'll get there. Yeah, I'd like to see that movie, actually, with you. You could probably expand on the plot line a thousandfold. Maybe we can. That would be really good. Wow.
I would be able to tell you and show you all the symbols that may go by. And you wouldn't even notice. And I've noticed all of the symbols and implication of those symbols and what they mean for today.
And how much really, did George Lucas know about all this, Jordan, when he executive producer for the film? The writers, was it Lucas? How much did they know? They should have contacted and consulted with you for this. But I wonder how much they really knew about what they were doing.
I got the spirit of the thing by talking to George Lucas and Disney. And Disney invited me. I got invited by the president of Disney Studios at the time, years ago, to come to Disneyland. And at Disneyland, I met Michael Eisner and George Lucas and some of the other movie stars there. And that's on my website, as you can see on my website. And I got the feeling that they probably knew a lot about, because they did have the Knights Templars overseeing the rock that the church is built on, and who built that great temple of Petra, the Nabataeans. Nabataeans were the people who founded.
Jordan, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. When you look, all of you, looking at Petra, P-E-T-R-A, in Jordan, look at the images, and you'll remember it was only active for about 500 years, then it was abandoned. It's still there. It's not so much built on a rock. It's built into an enormous rock formation You could call it a rock, small rock mountain if you want. But you go inside. I really need to see this movie, obviously. They were there.
Yes. You really need to see the movie because you'll see everything I'm talking about and see it displayed in front of you. By the Knights Templar's Masonic Lodge. The Knights Templar's Masonic Lodge are what we call the international bankers of today. They are the international bankers of today that are bringing about a new world order. It's a new world of humanity in which most of humanity living today will be destroyed. And the only people who are going to be able to live through this new world order is coming are going to be the people who are allowed to live and to create a basis for a new world order. And that is the Knights Templar plan. It's a plan put together by the secret societies in Europe and the Vatican to herd all of mankind into a new order of the world.
Very good. All right. Well, we're out of time with that. You can take a plane trip, apparently from Jerusalem, and go to visit Petra as well. You can get there from all over the place in the Middle East. But that's a real must-go destination. Thank you, Jordan, for this update on history and reality. We'll do it again soon. That was terrific.
It'd be nice to do it again.
We'll do it next week. Hope to get you on every week.
Okay. I'll be here.
Okay, my friend. Talk soon. Jordan Maxwell. Okay, that's our program tonight. We'll be right back tomorrow night, 21 hours. Talk to you then.